Lord will bless our coming together in a very special hymns we sang, old hymns, and how true that is, that every day he goes more sweeter than the day before. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Maybe as our younger friends, and we're glad to see them with us tonight as well. As you grow older, you'll discover how great the friendship of Jesus means. And as we travel down life's road together, how do we cope? As we think of the, in a week's time, that America will have a new leader, and so many have laid their hopes and their dreams and everything on that a day when it will all come about. How do we as Christians cope in a world that is rapidly changing? And sometimes we almost feel we've been left behind in many ways. How do we cope? Well, I believe that what we have to do is to look to our leader. And over these Tuesday nights, I have wanted to bring to you the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ and what a great person he is. And last week we looked at some of the glory of Christ and saw he was glorious in his, as the unchanging one. And the titles, the names that were given to him, and his relation to the Godhead. In fact, he was God. And his claims that he made of himself. He is glorious in the experience of his people. He's glorious in the perfection of his redeeming work. He is glorious in the place of glory where he now occupies, and we will one day occupy with him. So I wanted tonight to look with you at what we call the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If you turn with me to Acts of the Apostles, we'll read a few verses to begin with, and then we'll move on from there and see as the Spirit of God would bring it to our hearts together. So if you turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, please. Remember, Peter is preaching, and as he's preaching, he's bringing to them the needs of the hour. He's challenging them. And remember, what they're hearing is a new message. To them, it wasn't an old story. We sometimes sing, I love to hear the story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. But when Peter began to preach it, it was a new story. It was completely new. It had a freshness about it. And it was about this man whom they knew. And so I just want to pick up the parts of this message here. And in verse 32 of chapter 2, he says this, this Jesus whom God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath now shed this forth, this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, this is a verse I just want you to keep in mind as we travel through some scriptures tonight. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. That God hath made this same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Really, it should have been a moment of desperation for these new Christians, but it wasn't, because something dramatic had happened. Something dynamic had happened. Something powerful had happened. The Lord himself in chapter 1 had appeared to them, and he said in verse 8, you shall be my witnesses. After that, the power will come, because the Spirit had not yet come. In John 14, he had promised, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you someone that will be in you. You're going to be motivated by a divine force. You're going to be able to exist and operate under a divine power, a dynamic power, the dynamite of God in the message that you present and you preach. And so we find as we go through it, it happened, of course, at Pentecost in chapter 2, when the Spirit came in power and in holiness and in righteousness, and they began to speak, and everyone understood in their own tongue. And they began to question whether these men were under the influence of alcohol or what, but they were under the influence of a greater spirit than had ever been on this earth before. Because in the Old Testament, as we know, the Spirit of God came upon men. Came upon these men who did mighty works for God. It says that the Spirit came upon them. But when you come to Acts 2, you have a whole different concept of what is happening. For the Spirit was not only, as Jesus said himself, he will not only be with you, but he shall be in you. And this was the very Spirit of truth. Something happened to these fishermen. There was a change. They had a dynamic they had never had before. They were living in a fifth dimension. They had never experienced such power before, other than they had stood and witnessed that power being demonstrated as they had moved and they had walked with the Lord Jesus. And they had seen the power in evidence that when he spoke, things happened. And so but suddenly here's a situation where they find themselves with a crowd, many who were hostile to the message they had. And they begin to preach this great message for the first time that the world was about to hear. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. What a tremendous experience it must have been to be there. And not only were they bringing a new message, but they themselves were new men under the direction of the Spirit of God, and they were proclaiming it in a new power. Things happened when they declared the message. So much so, as they say, the world tried to explain it away as they looked visibly at it. And so when they come through, Peter reminds them that indeed, that this man whom they had thought so little of, this was the one that they had seen operating. You know, what I love about Peter is the way that Peter handles this whole situation. You can almost see the hand of God there. Because he turns around to them and he said, look, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested, approved of God by signs, miracles, and wonders, which yourselves also know. In other words, you know I'm not lying because you saw it happen. You didn't agree with it. You tried to pull him down. You eventually crucified him. But let me just go on a little bit further, says Peter. He said, this man, he was approved of God. You saw what he did. You saw the power he exercised. But he said, I want to tell you this, that this man was delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, and you took him, the Romans, and without hands of the law, have crucified and slew him. But even death couldn't hold them, because you see, he was the creator, and the earth itself had to open up, for the creation could not contain the creator. And so the wonder of it all is what they see before you. And he goes on and he begins to preach. And then he comes down as he's preaching and quoting scripture, Old Testament scripture. He begins to show us what we have tonight in verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know, assuredly that whom God hath made, this same Jesus that ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when we begin to look at the word Lord, I often think there are two important words missing today, or we don't hear them as much as we should. And one of them we use, and we're over-familiarize it. In other words, it's very easy to get used to something. It's very easy to talk about something where it becomes to us normal, when in actual fact, my dear friend, it is supernatural and powerful. But the first word is the word repentance. When we come to Christ, we don't hear about someone repenting. Repentance means they're turning around and going in a different direction. Repentance just doesn't mean being sorry. Repentance means, look, Lord, if you will forgive me, I'll never do it again with your help. It brings tears to the eyes of sinners. I've seen it many times. That men have been broken under the Spirit of God. And they've come and sought repentance. No, I tell you this, my friend, and I say this lovingly, and as I travel, I'm saying, I think that in many places in the Church of Jesus Christ today, we need repentance among God's people, don't we? Someone prayed about loving each other. Sometimes that's a sick joke, isn't it? We tolerate each other. And yet, you know, my friend, there's not a person in the body of Christ who hasn't been washed in the most precious thing in the world, the blood of Christ. Isn't that right? Not a person in the body of Christ who hasn't been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so we should reach out. Some, like every family, are harder to get on with than others, but, you know, if you just keep on loving, it wins through, doesn't it? Love never fails. But that's not what I want to deal with tonight. When we come to the point of repentance and salvation, and we come into the family of God, and we're in the family of God, and we begin to walk under the light of the next word, that's when that repentance kicks in, because we discover that He is Lord. Now, I know over the years there's been a controversy, and I respect men on both sides of the argument. Sometimes I think in theological arguments it's nice just to debate the debate and keep debates going, but oftentimes it doesn't prove anything. But, you know, I've seen both sides of the argument. When we come to Romans 10 and 9, if thou shalt confess it with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that Jesus is Lord. And so there's a section that says, well, the moment the man's saved, Jesus has to be Lord. Technically, that's correct. Practically, it's not always correct. How many have grown up in a Christian family? How many have grown up and come to the point of maybe wanting to be baptized and suddenly discovered when they wanted to be baptized, there was something deeper in their life they needed. They needed the control of Jesus Christ. They needed Him in charge. They needed someone who would be in charge of their life. There's others of us. I was fortunate in that sense that from the moment I got saved, I wanted Him to be a Lord. I read it and I thought, that's it. But I didn't grow up with it. God smacked me right in the middle of the forehead with it. And I had to come, and the moment He did, I said, that's what I want. I want Him not only as Savior, I want Him as Savior and Lord. I want You to run my life, Lord. Because I know You'll make a better job of it than I would. And so we have to come to look. But in my ministry, as I'm sure these other brethren who have ministered here, I'm sure you have sat with people. Sat with men and women who have come to your meetings and suddenly, after the meeting, come to you and said, look, I am saved, but I suddenly realized that Jesus doesn't have the full control in my life. And you've sat down with them and they've prayed. I remember two beautiful young women in Liverpool, in our tents in Liverpool across the Mersey, the other side. We had a big tent on both sides. It would depend which year we went. And on the other side of the Mersey, two young ladies sang. They had their hair long. They had their hats on. They looked the part. The tent was packed. And God was moving. And when I said, I can't ask you to come forward tonight, there's no room to come forward, but if God has spoken to you tonight, stand up if you want to be saved. And the first one to stand up was one of the girls that sang for me. I remember going to her and saying, what are you standing up for tonight? She said, I want to get saved. I made a profession for men years ago. She said, I was going to get married, go into North Wales, and never go to church again. But she says, God spoke to me tonight. This big tall fella came to me, and I said, what do you want? He said, that's my fiance. I said, are you waiting for her? He said, no, I want to get saved too. Amen. God was moving. Another young man, he had traveled from Manchester all the way through to Liverpool. I made an appeal at the end of the youth meeting. We had 900 people at the youth meeting. 900 young folk. And he came forward and he said, I'm in the assembly in Manchester. And he said, this was going to be the last meeting I went to. But he said, God has spoke to me tonight, I'm saved. You've told me I've got to give Jesus everything. I said, you've got to give him everything and hold nothing back. He said, I want to give him everything tonight. So I've seen that both sides of the friends, and you know, I'm one of those simple preachers that when it comes to the unknown field, I leave the rest to the sovereignty of God. Amen? God's in control. He's stirring hearts. He touches them. Now, when we look at the word Lord, we find it's a very interesting word. It's used a number of times in the Word of God, and many times David wrote, the Lord said unto my Lord. It's interesting the personal pronoun that is used. Mary said, you remember when she came to the tomb, they have taken away my Lord. Her deep concern about it there. Remember Thomas comes and he says, my Lord and my God. And Paul wrote, Jesus Christ, my Lord. And so we see the importance of this brought to us tonight as we look at it in a very real, very clear way. When we begin to look at it, we discover that Peter on this day of Pentecost, this Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made him. Now here's some important words. I don't know if you underline your Bible or highlight it, or whatever you do. If you don't, then highlight it, or underline it. God hath made both Lord and Christ. Can I just say something here very simply? You and I do not make Jesus Christ Lord. He's Lord already. You and I step into his Lordship. Isn't that right? He is already Lord. Why? Because the Father, says Peter, has made him both Lord and Christ. And so we step into the Lordship of Christ that he might take over control in our lives. F.A. Bruce, in one of his books, I knew him well. He was a lovely brother. He was an elder in an assembly in just south of Manchester, although he came from my part of the world, Aberdeen. But F.F. Bruce was a lovely brother. He used to come up to conferences and preach. But a brilliant New Testament scholar. And he said this, as he said, Christians recognize that Jesus Christ is the Lord, is the ruler of the kings on the earth, therefore Caesar's ruler too. And then he told the story. In the British coronation service, a gold orb surmounted by a cross. There's an orb, and right above it is a cross. It's presented to the sovereign with these words. This is what was presented to the Queen as a young woman in her 20s. She received this gold orb with a cross on top of it. I remember as a boy being taken by the school to the cinema to see the film on the coronation. And when it's printed to her, these are the words that are said, when you see the orb set under the cross, remember that the whole world is subject to the power and the empire of Christ our Redeemer. Wow. Isn't that fantastic words? That's tremendous words to a sovereign of the British Empire of that day, which has diminished greatly, but nevertheless, it was a great empire. Here comes the fact brought to her that if she accepts the sovereignty over the British kingdom, then she must realize she is a subject of the sovereignty of Almighty God. How much more for you and I who have entered into the experience of knowing Christ, who've learned to walk with Him, learned to trust Him. There's probably no other word in our religious vocabulary which has experienced greater robbery, says one writer, of meaning than the word Lord. It's used sometimes, well, the Lord made me do this, or the Lord told me to do that, or the Lord this and the Lord that. Some have even gone into a little bit of, I don't want to use a strong word, too strong a word, but I think it gets near blasphemy. Oh Lordy, my dear friends, the wonderful thing is this, that we've got to get back to discover that the one who saved us is our Savior and Lord and the supreme ruler, and we bow at His superior power and knowledge, and we glorify Him as Lord of all. I remember as a young fellow just getting saved, 18, coming in very green. Probably some of these lovely young folks here tonight knew more of the scriptures than I knew. Well, that wouldn't have been hard. But anyway, just coming in and realizing that when we came to worship, we were coming with a supernatural power within us to worship a God who is almighty. We were here last night, wonderful crowd of young folks. Oh, you folks, pray for them. I should have shouted out tonight, pray for Monday night. There is the most superb group of young people that I have seen in a long, long time. I've spoken this the second week. I've spoken to them. They are so quiet. They listen. Well, I hope they listen. But they are so mannerable. And I want to tell you they are your future of Spanish Wells. And you pray for them. And they're wonderful. And I would say, without disturbing their meeting, put your head in some Monday night at 7:30, or maybe just after it, and see what goes on. And you are going to get the biggest surprise of your life. It's wonderful. Both sides, right up there, and this side filled. The boys here. The girls here. I was just, when I saw them divided up, I was thinking of an old hymn. You remember those of us who were older when the boys and the girls were separate? The girls used to sing, "Where is my wandering boy tonight?" And the boys looked longingly and sang, "Oh, to be over yonder." But it was wonderful. And they listened. Beautiful. Pray for them. Pray for Monday night. Pray for Monday night. That Jesus might become Savior and Lord. Now, the word is the word kurios. And, you know, it's related to meaning power. Sometimes it's translated master or owner. It describes having power and authority. There's another word from which we get the word despot, which is that we have turned into an abuse of power. But actually the word means absolute power. And so when we talk about Jesus Christ being Lord, we're talking about someone who is the owner and has the absolute power and authority to reign over us. I've probably shared in the past, I know I have, my friend Willie Mullen was down and out hobo in the north of Ireland, got saved and ended up having one of the biggest Bible classes in the north of Ireland, right in the middle of the Troubles. And Willie wrote a chorus once, crown him forever. My friend John Moore, who married us, who wrote Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary, put the music to it. And the chorus was written, crown him forever. Crown him forever. Hear in my heart, Lord, set up thy throne. Have thine own way, Lord. Reigning each day, Lord, in royal fullness, reign evermore. And when Christ is elevated as Lord and Savior of the life, my dear friends, we have access to absolute power on earth because it's His power and He can operate through us. So we discover that that is so beautiful and so clear that the Scripture makes it so clear for us to understand it. Jesus is my Lord, as He Himself taught His disciples in John 13 and 13. As the Apostle Peter proclaimed Jesus as Lord. Also, we discover that to the Jews at Pentecost, people who were looking for a king, God says, I'm going to give you more than that. I'm going to give you the King of Kings. And they were too blind to see it. My dear friends, what a power He had and authority. If they only realized. We see this little group of people in the Middle East today and wonder how can they survive in a mass of people who don't even want them to exist. My dear friend, it has to be the hand of God as well that's there. But you know, my dear friends, let me say this very quickly. And I'll conclude. When we make Him Lord, it rules out other lords in our life, because there are other lords come in too. There's the Lord of self, isn't it? You've heard the expression, why doesn't he think a lot of himself? Isn't that right? And you, most of us are turned off by that, aren't we? By that. Maybe I was brought up in a Scottish home, and we were brought up under the influence of, generally in community, of Puritanism. And so you were never encouraged to that you had done well. God bless these Americans who put on their car, my kid is the honor roll student. And that's wonderful. I saw another one that said, my kid could bash your kid who's an honor roll student. Somebody else had put that on. But we were never encouraged in that way. People came out when you left school. Even if you left top of the class, you left with a handshake. There were no accolades. There were nothing. But they went on to be lawyers, doctors, many other things. But you were, and if you thought you were great, there was always a few more folk in the assembly ready to tell you you weren't great. So it was a great training ground to humble you. Self has to go. My own will has to disappear. We deny self and follow Jesus. Such is my flesh. So as a desire, it has to be we crucified. We have to be controlling it. And such is the world around us that's squeezing us in, isn't it? And trying to take our eyes off the Lord Jesus, the only one who can keep us on the right road. And there's so many lords trying to take over. And even men, don't they? They try and tell us what to do. My friends, I ask you to be Bereans. And to search the Scriptures and see if these things are so. And if it's the figment of some man's imagination, write it off. If it's written in the Word of God clearly and interpreted right, then you believe it. And so we discover the wonderful Lordship of Jesus Christ brought to us. Now time is going. evidence of that is seen in the man who had the vineyard. He was a lord. And he said, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him. We know what happened there. The owner of the colt, which Jesus rode, was the same word, Lord, there. God appointed Jesus Christ to be our owner and possessor and his disciple. I love that story of that donkey taking Jesus down to the people. I know I've said this before, but it's something I can never get away from my heart, that God never called me to be a stallion. Called me to be a donkey. And you know, you say, hey, you want to be dumb enough to be a donkey? Don't forget, it was a donkey that brought Christ to the nation. And he came down the side of the hill, sure-footed. And they never said Hosanna to the donkey, but they said Hosanna to the king. But it was a donkey that put. You might say, I would love to be a great flame for God. My friend, begin being a donkey, and you might bring others to Christ who become great flames for God. But you'll, and they might never say Hosanna to your name, but they'll say Hosanna and Hallelujah to his name. And that's what it's about, isn't it? And they were waving and shouting it. Nobody was saying, that's the best looking donkey we've ever seen in our lives. They couldn't see the donkey for what he was carrying. And my friends, when we are carrying Christ to the nation, the world lose sight of us because they see him. He's Lord. And it's a supernatural power and a supernatural life. He's a glorious Lord. And like David, we want to say tonight, he's my Lord. And sometimes we miss the blessing. And we've got to come back. We're like Thomas. We missed his first visitation. We've got to come back. We've got to look at his head. And we've got to look at his hands. And we've got to look at his feet. And we've got to look at his side. And we've got to say, my Lord. And my God. Oh, dear friend. He missed it the first time, but he got it the second time. And Jesus says, give me your finger, here's my hand. Where's your hand? Here's my side. I don't think he moved a muscle, you know. There's no record he moved a muscle. I think he just wanted to worship. My Lord. My God. A friend of mine, a lovely lady in Glasgow, went to a conference one Saturday afternoon. We had a lot of conferences in Scotland on a Saturday afternoon. She says, I'm sitting there and we finished the first session, had a lovely time, and the brother next to me, she said, turned round and said, started moaning and groaning and complaining about everything and about the meeting and about everything. And this sweet wee lady, Betty McInnes, looked at him and said, I came here to praise God. What did you come here to do? My dear friend, when you enter that door, do you come to praise God or to complain? But they all come to praise God, for that's where the blessing is. And Jesus said, Mary. It's sweet when he calls your name. You may be at the bottom of the barrel. And you're discouraged. And illness and circumstances are broken. And you hear, Mary. She turned around and said, Rabboni, Master, Lord. May we do that tonight for His glory. Let us pray. Father, I just pray that You will forgive my ability to do the things I want to do in sharing Jesus Christ. I thank You for the young ones with us tonight. And Father, what I wasn't able to make understandable to them, You by the Spirit make it clear. Bless them. Bless their young lives. And for the rest of us who are getting older, Lord, we don't have to get old and stale. We can get old and fresh. And keep us fresh in the love of Jesus. And may our leave this meeting the way we began it this night.